The total price for professional services contracts at the Agriculture Department is about $2 billion over the last 4 years. The Office of Management and Budget says those kinds of contracts can be very risky for you to use. Anne Marie Fennell is Director of Natural Resources and Environment Issues at the Government Accountability Office. She says with risk factors in mind, USDA needs to strengthen its oversight of professional services contracts. Anne Marie, it's great to have you on the program. Welcome and thank you for joining me this afternoon. What specifically were you looking at in the way that USDA obligates these professional services contracts?
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me. Our report examined the extent to which selected USDA agencies used preferred contract types and the extent to which they followed federal regulations and agency guidance in overseeing these contracts. We specifically focused in on three agencies within USDA. Those included Departmental Management, Forest Service, as well as Food and Nutrition Service, because they accounted for about 70% of USDA obligations for professional service contracts.
What kind of material did you look at? This says federal contracting data from the fiscal years involved, 09 to 13. It says you reviewed a non-generalizable sample of 15 contracts. What does that mean?
Yes, we selected contracts in addition to the data that we had analyzed from the Federal Procurement Data System Next Generation for the most recent fiscal years available. And essentially, in terms of the non-probability sample, we selected five contracts from each of the three agencies that I just mentioned. And we selected these contracts with a variety of factors in mind, including some of the highest in value as measured by obligated dollars, and trying to get a mix of contract types, such as firm fixed price or labor hour, as well as a variety of professional services, looking at marketing and human resource assistance as examples.
You write in your report, the Federal Acquisition Regulation and OMB guidance direct federal agencies to use performance-based contracts to the maximum extent practicable when acquiring services. How does that directive and how does that policy comport with what you found when you looked at these contracts?
When we examined the data, we found that about two-thirds of the funds obligated to contract for professional services in the five most recent fiscal years that we examined did not comport with OMB guidance and regulations in terms of selecting the preferred contract types. And we noted that the contracts that were selected, only about a third were actually performance-based firm fixed-price contracts, which is what is typically recommended.
What did you find instead of those kinds of contracts, Anne-Marie?
It was a variety of types of contracts. Some were performance-based without being firm fixed price, and others were different types of payment methods. So it did cover the gamut. What was interesting to note, though, is that the agencies started to put greater emphasis on using the preferred contract types that are mentioned by OMB guidance and in the federal acquisition regulations. So we started to see an uptick in terms of performance-based firm fixed price contracts from 2009 to more recent years.
The data is trending in the right direction. I understand 53% is probably not where we would like them to be, but your report says the three agencies collectively increased their use of performance-based firm fixed price contracts from about 16% of obligations in fiscal 09 to 53% in fiscal 2013. That at least is the trajectory that we would like to see. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I think that's largely in part because the agencies themselves began to place greater emphasis on using performance-based firm fixed price contracts, including, for example, requiring written justification for contracts that are not performance-based and ensuring that they are examining the rationale as to why they may choose to go in a different direction if it is not the preferred contract type.
Emory Fennell of the Government Accountability Office looking at contracting at the Department of Agriculture. You also write, the three USDA agencies did not consistently follow regulations, policies, and guidance in overseeing the 15 professional services contracts GAO reviewed. And this sounds like that's the execution phase rather than the awarding phase that we've talked about so far. Am I on target there?
Yes, we looked at a variety of different types of contract oversight, including the designation of the contracting offer representative, looking at including quality assurance surveillance plans as part of the contracts, taking a look at their oversight activities for ongoing contracts, and then finally assessing contractor performance at the end phase. So we looked at a variety of different types of oversight activities and found that there were some areas where USDA was applying a number of good practices, but there were definitely opportunities for improvement.
So it looks like one of the three departments or bureaus that you looked at is making a little progress here. You write, Food and Nutrition Service officials told you the agency's planning to make quality assurance surveillance plans a requirement for all contracts by fiscal 2015. And you also note that for that reason, they've held off on training, or they have held training for staff on using those plans. So it sounds like they're in the mix, headed in that direction again. Departmental management and the Forest Service, though, didn't give you any indication that they're going that way. Were you able to find out why?
With the departmental management and the Forest Service, they didn't seem to have similar plans in place as the Food and Nutrition Service. However, we did make a recommendation that they consider having similar mechanisms in place, and they did concur with that recommendation. So we will look forward to seeing what type of progress they're going to be making in that area.
You do note the Forest Service has developed a specific written strategy for meeting OMB's targets for contractor assessments. What are those targets, and why is that important, Anne-Marie?
Well, it's important to have those kinds of assessments because when you take a look at contractor performance, OMB has indicated that the target should be 100%, and our findings were showing that each of the agencies that we looked at fell far below that particular target. And the agency said they hadn't emphasized the importance of giving this a priority in the past, given other competing priorities. But I think the Forest Service does show that by developing the strategy that you mentioned, as well as looking as to training their staff and establishing goals, then there can be greater emphasis on that. And it becomes important for the others to follow suit in order to not only try to comply with OMB's target of 100%, as well as USDA's greater emphasis on it, but to actually be able to utilize that information in terms of assessing future contracts and whether or not those contractors have satisfactorily performed on prior contracts. So that information can be very useful in terms of making future contracting decisions.
And that strategy for meeting the targets for contractor assessments is your recommendation to the departmental management part of the agency and the Food and Nutrition Service. Tell me about the recommendation for the departmental management and the Forest Service on the quality assurance surveillance plans, Anne-Marie.
Yes, for both the departmental management and Forest Service, we recommend to them that they consider mechanisms that can be put in place to help ensure that quality assurance surveillance plans are included in contracts as necessary. We leave it up to their discretion. They can turn to others within USDA that have made similar strides, and I think that will assist them ensuring that federal contracting officials have complete and timely information to make decisions about the performance of contractors.